We're in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, one of the most powerful passages in the Bible. Every believer should put this in his memory bank. And if you don't have a memory bank, have somebody real close to you that does, and have them memorize it for you so they can quote it to you 3 or 5 times a day. Romans 8:28. We're all aware of what it says, hopefully. What's the third word in that verse?
No.
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 Is that important?
Yes, we know.
Very. For the believer, that's important.
Sure, yes, it is.
We know. We're not speculating. This is not up for arbitration or vote. It's fact.
Yes.
The book says we know. Now, you say, well, that's Paul doing the writing. Well, it's the same Holy Spirit that convinced Paul that that's so, that convinces us that it's so.
Yes. Yes.
So if Paul knew, I can know.
Yes.
You can know that all things, not just a few things, but all things. Now, that is tough to swallow when providence slaps us. It's not hard to swallow when the providence is blessing us and things are going well.
Amen.
But when the time comes that providence slaps us in the face,
yes, sir,
it's hard to say.
Yes, sir.
I know that all things,
amen,
work together for good. Isn't that an amazing truth? All things work together for good. Now, last week I said to you that the reason things work together for we as believers is simply because of the fact that we have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty that is unique.
Yes,
as a believer, you have a unique relationship with the Lord God.
Amen.
Think about that. And I said to you on last week, this relationship means that He is our Father. He is a great physician. When we need spiritual help, He's there. And when we need physical help, He's there.
Yes.
More than one of us in this building tonight have been healed because of prayer.
Yes, sir.
And we must remember that all healing comes from God. And when we pray, God hears our prayers and the great physician comes on the scene. So we have a physician and we have a friend in the Lord God Almighty, and therefore all these things work together for good. And I said to you, He is our husband. As the church is the bride of the Lord Jesus, then He must be our husband. And the husband looks out for the good of his wife, does he not? Well, how about that? Then things could work together for good for those that love the Lord, those that are part of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking out for us. Not only is He looking out for us now, but He's prepared a place to take us when we become His bride, when we become His wife. Actually, I've preached for years that this marriage ceremony took place when you came to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That relationship, though in the mind of God it was always there, but experientially it takes place when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So you're already married.
Yes.
Amen.
Paul has something to say about that in Romans chapter 4 too. So you're already married to the Lord Jesus. But as of yet, there's been no honeymoon. As of yet, there's been no marriage supper, or there has been no taking us to the place that He's prepared for us. And by the way, let me clear up something that gets so fouled up at funerals. Those that have gone on before us will not step inside that city before we do. Now, how many times have you heard preachers say, oh, they're shouting on the streets of gold of glory? Well, you need to read this book one more time.
Amen.
We're all going in at the same time.
Amen.
Now, let me say, and if you have a problem with that, listen carefully. Who ever married part of a bride?
No one.
I married my wife, I got every bit of her, arms, legs, teeth, and all, along with the bills that go along with it.
Amen.
Hello?
Hmm?
I didn't marry half a wife. I didn't take half a wife into the house. Huh? And the Lord Jesus is not going to take half a wife. Oh no, the whole is going to be there. Every last one of us when we step into that city. So he's our husband. And of course, I said as well that he is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, a faithful friend, not just a friend, but a faithful friend.
Amen.
I want to add one thing to that before I progress tonight. And you might want to just settle your mind tonight that I'm going to say some things you won't necessarily like.
Amen.
But I learned a long time ago the only way to make people think and study is to prick their mind. So we're going to touch on something that some of you may have a problem with. I hope we can all shout it out.
Amen.
I really do.
Amen.
But the last thing I want to say about why all things work together for good is because he is our head.
Sure. Yes.
He is the head of the body.
Right.
Is that right?
Yes.
Absolutely. Paul makes that very plain in the Ephesian letter. As he compares the husband as the head of the wife, so is Christ the head of the church.
Yes.
Now, that being so, think with me for a moment. That being so, my head holds four of my senses. Is that right? Does yours?
Right.
You see, you hear, you smell, you taste with your head. Are you still listening? You getting a hold of this. Now, that being so, if, and not as a way of argument, but in the sense of the word that to lay down what I'm saying, if Christ is our head, then everything about the body is cared for by the head.
Right.
Hmm? If you're using a saw, your head tells you don't put your finger where the saw's going.
Amen.
Yeah, you may do that unconsciously, but you won't do it because your head told you to do so. And if you have a brain that God gave a peacock, then surely to goodness, you'd have sense enough to know not to step out in front of a Big Mac truck moving down the road out there. You see, our head's telling us this. Now, that being so, our spiritual head has everything about us under his control and in his charge. That's a marvelous thought to me. That means that as a believer in Christ, and if I love the Lord, then all things are working good for me because he is my head. He's doing my thinking. He's doing my tasting. Boy, wouldn't that be a good presentation to a bunch of drunks? He's doing my seeing. Hello? Couldn't we preach a while? And all of my senses, I can feel with my head too. So then all of my senses are keenly at work above my shoulders at my head. Therefore, the spiritual head of the church feels everything we feel, knows everything I feel, knows every heartache, knows every headache, knows every path I take, knows everything that lies before me, and by the way, has made preparation for what lies before me. Isn't that a marvelous truth? Boy, I'll tell you right now, I could just turn loose and shout a while. I'm understanding some things here. You ought to be understanding some things. God Almighty knows what's out there and has made preparation for me before I get there. And when I arrive on the scene, that could be dangerous for me is rather going to work out for my benefit and for His glory, because He's fixed it before I got there. Now that counts for objects and that counts for days, time, whatever. Our God is in control thereof. So thank God that's so. All those things are going to work together for good because God is in charge. I said that to begin with. I've surely amply proved that to you. Now let's move on to this thought tonight. All things work together for good to those that love God because our God is in control of providence. I'm not talking about Rhode Island. I'm talking about providence, the happenings of our days. Now hear me. Not for one second would I serve a God that doesn't know what's going on. And here's the problem with people when they don't understand this. And I submit to you tonight that I do not understand all there is to know of the providence of God. And neither have I ever met anyone that understands all the providences of God. Some things we just can't understand, and we believe it anyhow. Why? Because everything else is so. Then that must be so as well. Simply put, providence means that God is in control of the affairs and the happenings of our days. If providence were not our friend, then all of us would perish instantly. If providence were not our friend, if God did not rain good providence down upon us, then we'd all perish, every last one of us. Providence is that which mixes all of the ingredients that I spoke with you about earlier in this series. Providence is the fingers and the hands that gets into the mixture and mixes all of the ingredients and causes all those ingredients to come out good. Now you and I have not that ability. Oftentimes we think we control the things of our life. How often do I hear even preachers have adopted this saying? You are in control of your destiny. There could never be a greater lie. Amen. You are not in control of your destiny. Now that causes a lot of stir among a lot of people. You should have been in some of the seminary classrooms when I made that statement. You are not in control of your destiny. Only one. Amen. Only the God of heaven is in control of our destinies. And along the way to our destiny, He is in control of the affairs that take place along the road. He is mixing all of these ingredients to bring it out to be good for us somewhere down the road. Right now it may not be good. A lot of things don't feel good, do they? I was praying with Brother Harold yesterday. Sorrow is a bitter pill. Plus he having some medical issues as well. And sorrow, and then that on top of him as well, and all of the things that he has to take care of that she consistently took care of, and he's as lost as a duty in high weeds. He don't know what's going on. And you look at that and you wonder, how in the world can that turn out to good? Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know the whole answer, but I know the truth of the matter is that God said it would. And I need absolutely nothing else. You need put nothing else on my plate than the fact God said it would. I don't have to have the proof otherwise. If God said it, it's over with. It's going to be so. Then all of these things mixed together, all of these ingredients, though bitter for the time, will turn out to be for our benefit and God's glory down the road, because He's in control of it all. It's simple when you say it, but it's not so simple when you live it. In Daniel chapter number 4, verse number 17, and in verse number 25 of that chapter, the text says, "The Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men." God rules in the kingdom of men. Now we're facing some issues my brother mentioned a few moments ago, and surely to goodness you know. Amen. We're facing some issues that God's people need to awaken to. And if we do not wake up, He said less than half those who name the name of Christ are registered. But less than half of those that are registered voted last time. Do you realize that the Christian vote in America could turn this thing around overnight? Are you aware where the God's people would come alive, that we could turn this thing around by the grace of God in one election? And put that bunch of hell hoppers into hell where they belong. Now, it's not going to be fixed till God's people rise up. Now, listen to me. It's not going to be fixed till God's people rise up. We can put the militia on the street, which maybe we need to do. But God's people need to come alive. We need to get a hold of the throne of grace. And though these things are happening, why? Why, you ask? Maybe it's so God will wake His people up. Maybe God is about to wake us up. Maybe He's shaking us now and causing us to understand that we've slept too long. Yeah. It's time to get up. Now, Brother Gary said, he's the pastor, he said he would not tell you who to vote for. I will. I'll tell you right now, I don't want Nancy Pelosi anywhere near the presidency. As a matter of fact, the next term for Mr. Trump, he ought to bar her from the White House. Amen. But now listen to me. God's in control of all this. And we need to be praying that God's will be done. And prayerfully, that is the will of God, that He see another term. Because in another term, here's the reason they don't want Him back in there, is because He's exposing all of their ungodliness and all their lies and all their cheating and all of that hell that they tried to raise in the last election and failed to do so. The man under pressure has done more than any president we've ever had in this country. And somehow, some way, we need to pray that God will put Him back in there. And some of that mess, I don't think all of it will ever get out of Washington, but some of it will be revealed, and some of those people get behind bars. Some of them ought to be hung. Amen. Say amen right there. Amen. Definitely ought to be so. The providence of God. God's in control. The glorious position of the child of God. Listen carefully. While we live, all things work for our benefit. When we die, we go home to God. Now, is there a better position to be in? Huh? I mean, while I'm alive, God's working everything in my life for my benefit and for His glory. If I'm a lover of God, now remember there's a qualification here. You've got to keep that in mind. Do you love Him? If you do, then those things are working out. Though they are bitter, they work for your benefit and for His glory. And so while I'm alive and in this world, everything works for my benefit. And then when I die, I go home to be with Him. Now what could be better than that? Hey, you'll never find an insurance plan like that.
No.
You'll never find anything in this world that'll measure up to that. Because no one in this world can make everything work good for you. And no one can guarantee you that you're going to heaven except the Holy Ghost of God Almighty. It would seem, by the way, that our afflictions are to destroy us. Did you ever feel like God is mad at you? I think I can prove to you that God's never been mad at you. If you're His child, I can prove to you He's never been mad at you. In the great correction chapter, Hebrews chapter 12, the writer simply lays out how correction comes. And as a father corrects his son, so our heavenly Father corrects us. And here's a famous thought. Listen. And if we're without chastening, whereof all are partakers, then are we bastards and not sons. It's hard to rejoice when you're under the whip. But we ought to. And here's the reason we ought to. It proves to us that we belong to Him. Yes. Chastening is not pleasant. And no matter how many times my daddy said to me, "Lie, I love you, that's why I'm doing this." Listen, as I was growing up, I thought my daddy, surely, here's a Baptist preacher. Pastored all these churches, and he's the biggest liar. How in the world can this hurt him more than it hurts me? But he's talking about a different kind of hurt. And when I grew up and had children, I realized what my daddy was saying. Sure, it hurts. Dad hurts when he has to chasten his children, but it's necessary. The reason, let me tell you, the number one reason why these hoodlums are walking down the street with their face covered and hammers in their hands, knocking out windows and torches in their hands, burning down stores. The very number one reason is because mom and daddy never blistered their pants. And Dr. Spook, they believed him rather than believing God. Correction is necessary. But when correction comes, we always think it a bad thing. But was it? I told my dad, after I was a man, I said, "Daddy, I appreciate every time you took me down the stairs in that basement. I appreciate every time you sent me after a hickory. I appreciate I needed more. I got by with some things I shouldn't have got by with. I appreciate it." Amen. Now listen to me. One of these days, we're going to learn to say, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for the switch that's come upon me. Thank you for taking me to the tool shed. Thank you for taking me to the basement. Thank you for correcting me when I needed correcting. Thank you for assuring me that I am your child." Yes.
Amen.
He chastens every son that he receiveth. So if you're without chastening, whereof all our partakers, are you listening? Then are you bastards and not sons. Very simply put. Very simply put, I never forget Linda Oliver. Stopped me in the school when we were in high school. Stopped me in the hallway one day. "I have a question for you." She said, "Is it hard being a preacher's boy?" You know, I'd never thought about that. Never. It had never entered my mind until she said that. And I said, "What are you talking about? What do you mean?" I'd rather be a preacher's boy than anybody else I know. Amen. I wouldn't want nobody else to be my daddy. Amen. I wouldn't want anyone else to be my mama. Amen. God was merciful to us boys when He birthed us into that Montgomery family. Yes. And listen to me. I don't want anybody else to be my God. No, I don't want anyone else to be my Savior. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know that the God of glory has prepared a place for me. Yes. And because of his providence, I'll get there. I said because of his providence. You see, in that providence, he's correcting me and keeping me on the path. Now, God's young'uns are not going to fail to go to heaven. But all of us will not get there in the same shape. All of us won't get there in the same shape. Some of us will get there beat to death. Others of us will get there with just a few stripes. But every one of us is going to carry a stripe somewhere when we get to glory. I often wondered, Brother Gary, when we get there, if we're going to show our stripes. Like everybody wants to show their scar, maybe we'll stop long enough and say, let me show you my stripe. Paul bragged about his, didn't he? Sure he did. Well, you've got some stripes, and I have some stripes. They might not all be physical. They could be mental and emotional and spiritual. But all of those are there, and they're everyone there for our benefit and for His glory.
Yes, they are.
Hallelujah. So in the providence of our days, God works everything out to His glory. Job said in 22, verse number 21, acquaint now thyself with God, and be at peace, therefore God shall come unto thee. To believe Romans 8:28 will turn your days into joy. Turn your suffering into benefit. It'll cause us to realize some things that we never would realize otherwise. To the wicked, good turns out for bad. And to the saint, bad turns out to good. I was reading the other morning, heading back through the text again, and I was reading with David and Saul, and Saul said, I'm going to give him, there's two pronunciations for this word because it's a female word. It's either Michael or Michelle, and that's Saul's daughter, and he said, I'm going to give him to her, or to him, her to him, that she might be a snare to him. Do you know God gives things to the wicked to be a snare to them? Do you understand that riches can be a snare? Pleasures can be a snare. The way the wicked live in this world, everything they do is a snare. As a matter of fact, the Word of God declares that the very plowing of the wicked is sin. Did you hear that? Even the good things they seem to do. Some years ago, we had, because of the aviation ministry at our church in Florida, we built our own runway and our own maintenance facilities and so on right there at the church on the property. And we had two men that did angel flights that operated out of our field all the time. And time after time, I'd ask them, listen, what about eternity? Now, both of them had the same answer every time I'd mention it. Oh, Brother Larry, what I'm doing surely is going to get me into heaven. And they'd run by the things that they had done. They just, I mean, one of them carried a cat somewhere. But when they'd carry the children, oh, that got them in as far as they're concerned. They'd carry those children to burn hospitals that were burned badly. And they'd say, surely that's going to get me in. Surely God will smile on me for that. And I'd quote the text to them, the plowing of the wicked is sin. No matter how much of this you do, you're still going to hell without Jesus Christ. Though things look well for you today, the day's coming that you'll be screaming and crying and wishing you'd had but one drop of water for your tongue. It's a sad day that we live in America. Supposedly, I think China's about to supersede us now, supposedly the most educated people in the world, and yet we're so ignorant about the Word of God. The very thing we ought to know more of, we know less of.
Amen.
And we have denominations, he just spoke of one a few moments ago, but none of them had their churches open, who believe that they're going to work their way into glory.
Amen.
Now, folks, listen to me. It doesn't work that way. If you could get to glory by the things you do, Jesus would never have come and died. He'd never suffered what he had to suffer for us. But thanks be unto God, that's God's way, one and only way. I want to say that again, one and only way. There are not many ways to heaven. There is one way to heaven. If you believe God, you believe it's one way, not several ways. But I hate to even say this tonight, but it's happening across this country. Preachers are diverting from that and giving other means. God help us. God, no wonder we're in the shape we're in. Even preachers don't believe the Word of God. When I was in seminary, my first degree from seminary, so many years ago, I did a survey as one of my courses. I did a survey of the major seminaries and Bible colleges in America. And that survey proved that less than 50% of the ministerial students believed there was a hell. Now that was in the early 70s. Late 60s, early 70s. I wonder what it is today. And listen to this. You think that was bad? Listen to this. 85% didn't believe the blood was necessary for the forgiveness of sin. And that's what's been preaching in our pulpits, and that's the reason we're in the shape we're in America. You'd be surprised at the number of preachers probably that you know that do not believe that the blood of Jesus Christ is the only remedy for your sins.
Amen.
But it is. It is. That's God's way. That's part of God's providence for your life. Putting it all together, making sure that it all works out. Spiritual good things work to the hurt of the wicked. And temporal bad things work for the good of the saints.
Yes, sir.
I wish there were some way that we could all be convinced without a shadow of a doubt that this passage of Scripture is in reality fact.
Amen.
Now, I know that it's so. I've been down the road a way. Brother Bill, you've been down the road a way. Brother Gary, you've been down the road a way. And there's some things that have happened in our lives that at the time we thought were disasters. And God turned them around for our benefit and for His glory. Now, during the time, I don't mind telling you, during a couple of times, it hurt bad. And I was wrestling with how in the world can this work out for my benefit. And on one occasion, I'll never forget saying to my wife, honey, it's all right. It's all right. God settled my mind. This is His will. This is for my benefit. This is for His glory. I wish I had time to tell you how things turned around in a week's time.
Amen. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
God will work things out for His people, for those that love Him.
Yes.
God will work things out
yes,
through His providence for your benefit and for His glory.
Yes,
God will never take you into thing that won't bring Him glory.
That's right.
Listen, God will never take you anywhere that won't bring Him glory. Because in the middle of whatever it is, He's working the ingredients together to bring about glory for Himself and benefit for you.
Amen.
And the chastening of our Heavenly Father is never for our destruction, but for our development.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Let's stand together. Heads are bowed for a moment. Eyes are closed. Now, I don't know your circumstance tonight. I wouldn't even want to know. But no doubt there's some here that are wrestling with this truth. Let me challenge you tonight. Just throw up the white flag of surrender and say, Lord, I believe it. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to claim it as truth for my life. I'm going to declare from this day forward that the affairs of my life, the happenings of my days, are going to turn out for my benefit and for His glory.
Amen.
God, let it be so. Father, You've been so good to us along the way. If we never see the sunshine of another day, it's been a good journey. And You've done things for us greatly undeserved. You've loved us when we were unlovable. You taught us when we were unteachable. You've cared when others couldn't. And You've brought to pass the ingredients thus far in our life for our benefit and Your glory. I thank You, Lord, for where I am and yet for where I must go. And even for the trials and the pitfalls, the heartaches that we must face along the way, if it be in Your providence, then surely it is for our benefit and for Your glory. For every soul under my voice tonight, I pray in Jesus' name that You might assure their hearts that You're in control. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what they face, convince us by Your Spirit, by Your Word, that it's good for us. And it'll turn out to our benefit and to Your glory. Amen.